enjoyed or thought was interesting, but overall, just like whatever. So,
yeah, it was a lot of moving things along, on pretty much all of the shows. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I thought, I mean, unfortunately, some of it just was kind of boring, too. Like, I didn't think NXT had much energy to it this week. So I'm just, like, kind of zoning out watching it until the Pretty Deadly vignette, which was incredible. That
was pretty funny.
I mean, just, I'm watching like a day in the life of your NXT Tag Team Champions. I'm like, okay, I'm down. Because I love those guys. They're great. And that really didn't do anything to dissuade me from thinking how great they are. Because you may think by looking at our physiques, our immaculate or perfect physiques, that we're up at 6 a.m. every morning in the gym. He goes, but no. We wake up at the ripe time of 10 a.m. long after all of you normal people. And then they pick those gaudy outfits out for the gym, and all they're doing is playing leapfrog, and they're pulling a sled with, like, body weight and a 25-pound weight on it. Like, this is great. Oh, after they brush each other's hair for an hour.
Oh, yeah, I mean, hey, who doesn't do that?
Well, I can tell you one person, so. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed that a lot. I mean, again, like, Triple H isn't doing that for Raw yet.
Oh, right.
I would have thought, I mean, maybe because these guys are all established, that's why they're not doing it, but I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think, like, maybe Tommaso Ciampa. You don't really know a whole lot about Tommaso Ciampa. You're just supposed to know him from NXT.
Yeah, he could use some stuff. Did he get injured or something? Like, I just really feel like he's been MIA. Maybe it's because The Miz has also been MIA that Ciampa's been MIA.
Yeah, he's gotten kind of lost with The Miz Dexter Lumis stuff. Because he wasn't even on this week, was he?
I don't remember him. I don't remember seeing him.
Yeah. I also loved, I know it's a weird way to start all over the place, but I did like the Dexter Lumis stuff this week, only because it was totally foreshadowed in the beginning what was going to happen. Miz has his crack security staff of a bunch of people who would get blown over with this impending hurricane. Weigh $1.50 each, maybe. And then you see, like, the mannequin with the goalie equipment on. And I'm like, oh, Dexter Lumis is in that goalie equipment. And then, sure enough, the end of the game, the show, he's in there. So I was like, oh, okay, that's, you know. Oh, my God. Sorry, they're showing the Tua Tagovailoa stuff.
Yeah.
How do your fingers do that?
I don't know. Like, I saw the initial hit and I'm like, ooh, man, that looks rough. And it honestly looked a little bit softer in replay. He definitely hit his head, though, on the ground. And
yeah. God damn. I remember when Luke Kuechly got his, like, last concussion. I think it was his last one. He started crying. And apparently he didn't even know he was doing that.
Oh.
Because I guess that's one of the, like, symptoms.
Yes.
Of a concussion. Like, all that stuff. I mean, that's got to be crazy.
Yeah, well,
like horror movie fingers that just happened.
Well, and you're talking about doing stuff and not remembering it. Like, when I had my concussion, people, like, I know some of the stuff that I did just from other people having been around me at that time period.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was some similar repeating wow. symptoms.
That's crazy, dude. Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just from a minor one. Like, I'm not even trying to say that I have the concussion level of Tonga Vailoa here. Like, I'm not even close. But it was just like, even a mild one can really get you to do some weird stuff that you don't remember. And that, like I said, if I hadn't been playing softball with a bunch of people, like, to tell me this stuff, I never would have remembered it.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater's still in the NFL. I didn't know that. Anyways, the only time I've had a concussion was drinking, but the only time I don't remember anything was still that time I was at your place. What was that little bar called? Vinny's?
Oh, Vinny's? Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we were just doing Jaeger shots. And that you guys told me I was dancing to Barry White on the pool table. To this day, I still have no recollection of this night.
I'm not sure that you were... I don't remember the dancing on the pool table part.
Yeah, because Ken was the one. Yeah, we had to get you down because they were going to throw us out. That's what he told me, at least. So I was like, okay.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I guess I just do not remember that part of the story.
Yeah, well, that was also like the infamous like first night whenever I'd visit where everything would get... pretty crazy anyways. So, yeah, because that was the night I threw up in your washing machine. To this day, I still say it was a smart idea.
There are worse places to throw up, I would say.
Yeah, because all I did was just turn it on, run the cycle, clean it up.
Yep.
Done. Yeah.
I think we ran it a second time just to be safe.
I think that would be a good idea. So. I think that was the last time I touched Jaeger until years later. Because that's probably not true at all. But I cannot remember the last time I've had it. So.
It's been a while since I've had some Jaeger. Yeah, I've had a shot every now and again. So it's probably not too long ago, but it's probably still a long enough time.
Yeah, I think I can do without it. I'm pushing an age to be drinking like that.
Yeah, so, it does. It does seem like a young man's alcohol.
Yes. So, I'm trying to figure out how to get back to wrestling, but yeah, whatever. So, but
speaking of drinking, Jeff Hardy.
Jesus. Hey, Matt Hardy said he's doing pretty well at least. So that's nice.
Yeah, that is good. But
I hope, but all right. This is not a planned conversation, so I'm probably going to talk out of my ass here, but Matt was also the one that when Jeff quit WWE, you know, because he was just had enough, and was perfectly fine, he wasn't drinking or anything.
Oh.
And Matt backed him up, and it's like, I'm not saying he's enabling, but goddamn, I mean, you can sneak alcohol. It's not that hard.
Oh.
Especially when you get to that point where it's your life. But still, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
He said he's not pushing for him to come back to wrestling, like, right now or at all, which I think is very refreshing, actually. So.
Well, yeah, and it's probably a smart call.
Mm-hmm. But.
Jeff definitely seems to, seem to have his problems.
I mean, Matt seemingly got his life together.
Yeah, but I still don't want to see Matt wrestle either, so, you know.
Well, it looks like that's what we're getting, buddy. Judging off of AEW, we're getting Private Party and Hardy versus Andrade and Butcher and the Blade.
Oh,
That's what it seems like.
I forgot. I blocked that out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least... Okay. God, we are all over the place, but...
Yeah, because we started with NXT and still need to get back there at some point.
Yeah, we will, but at least in a storyline, this makes sense. But again, it only makes sense if you're watching Being the Elite, which is not anymore, where Matt Hardy's been doing his penance for everything and trying to, like, you know, make up for being, you know, big money Matt and a piece of shit and all this.
Yeah, it's, I suppose it's one of the few times that I'm just like, yeah, I guess I buy this. Like, it's been enough time. I know that they have had him off the main TV for a while. The gimmick made some sense to me. And, yeah, it's not like I... Private Party is just... Holy smokes. They get that huge win to start AEW, and it's just been a cesspool for them pretty much ever since.
Yeah, I mean, it's to the point where they're pretty much on par with the kids from NXT. The guy that's built like an action figure and his partner. I can never remember their names. Is it Inofi, one of them?
Idris Inofi, and I can't think of the other guy's name.
Yeah.
Offhand.
But yeah, I mean, they're pretty much on par with them now. I mean, for presence, you know?
It's just all potential.
Yeah, and Elise constantly gets them confused with Private Party. She's like, oh, those are the Private Party guys? I'm like, no. That's AEW. Oh, okay. So it's like, well, kind of telling, but it's not a talent issue, but they're relatively young too. So it's like, all right, they got some growing up or learning to do, but that whole Hardy AFO or whatever, they're Andrade's AFO, whatever they're calling it, that's kind of a mess anyways.
Oh, yeah, and that's, I was kind of laughing about the whole situation, because I'm like, oh my god, they're going back, like, this was a old feud, why are we reigniting this feud? Like, it's...
Because they have nothing to do.
Yeah, it wasn't good the first time, we don't need a run back on this one.
Yeah, but in a way, I'm looking at it going, well, at least they're doing something with them, with all of them. Because Andrade, I don't know. Now that, like, well, now that we know Malakai Black and Buddy Matthews aren't leaving AEW, or not being allowed to, however you want to look at it, like, who's the bigger bust? Like, Adam Cole got hurt. He doesn't really count.
Oh.
Swerve and Keith Lee, they were the tag champs, even though they were kind of relegated to Rampage, which, again, is not a bad thing if you're trying to build that show.
Oh, right.
But then Miro came out gangbusters, and then...
There's been nothing since, and I mean, again, I think you and I talked about it. He did kind of get left in the lurch when Malakai Black, at a minimum, decided to cease being on TV.
Yeah. And then, so there's him. Buddy Matthews comes in, and... It was like, oh, cool, aligns himself with Malakai Black, House of Black, all this. I don't remember him having matches. I know he had one. But I can't remember the last time he wrestled, outside of, like, this last two-week period.
He's gotten some feature matches. They talk him up when he does have a match. But then he's lost at least half of those. So it's just like, I don't care if you talk him up. If he's 50-50 at best, win percent-wise, he's not worth getting too attached to. That just means that he's going to, you know, lose to the next up-and-comer coming through. Like, you'll heat him up sometimes. And then other times he's just going to be the fall guy.
Yeah, but it's just like, you see these guys, and you're like, you're no better off now. I mean, I know Buddy Matthews and Malakai both got released, so it's not like they asked to go and, you know, were pushed off.
Right.
Miro, his contract ran out. He's the perplexing one to me because of how hot he started. I'm sorry, he came in and was like, what is this video game shit?
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, he turns into this Redeemer guy. You're like, oh my god, this is fantastic. And then he's been doing other stuff. Like, I know he filmed like a TV show or something.
Oh.
And I didn't. Just enjoying being rich. So.
Yeah. That one might be a little more of a self-choosing one than others, but yeah, because he did have the one injury, I believe, though, when he was with AEW.
It was his quad or something? He had a strained quad?
Yeah, so that did take him out of action for a while. And yeah, like, that's when he really did lose pretty much all momentum. Like, things kind of ground to a halt. Right around that time period.
Yeah, well, I remember when they had, like, some tournament. It was a tournament for something. And then he took Moxley's place? Even though it was like, why isn't he in the tournament anyways? It was one of those?
Yeah.
And then lost to Bryan Danielson. So, it was like, okay. But yeah, I was going over AEW's roster before we started, because their problem is right now, I don't think we quite understood what an essential part of the show CM Punk, the returning Kenny Omega, and the Bucks were. The roster looks, I was like, there's plenty of people they should be putting on TV instead of this. No, there's not. Because we had, again, two guys that aren't even in the company wrestling for titles, regardless of excuses.
Right.
You know, it's like, God damn, you pull in more people from the outside? Like, and I wanted to complain that it's, you know, poor booking, and it may be. But, like, Bandito, okay? They're like, well, and Excalibur had to correct him. I was like, well, he never lost the title. But he did lose the unification match. Well, then he lost the title. What are you talking about?
I think it was a multi-way match, and he didn't get pinned. Mm.
Okay. So that, all right, that helps explain things.
Yeah.
Since Robinson beating Moxley in another company, that makes no world sense at all. And then they kept talking about how he's a free agent. I was like, well, didn't he just say he signed with New Japan again?
Oh.
Or is he just, you know, just all over the place?
Oh, I must have been tuning out the announcers during that one, too. Not completely surprising. Yeah, their roster is big and bloated, but like you said, I think that's part of the problem is that they haven't done anything with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you would have people to fill in, like, all the people that we just listed, like, those were definitely all people that a lot of people thought, hey, you know, greener pastures, AEW, yada yada. And it's just like, no. And it's just like, well, maybe NXT seemed like this weird, I don't know why I'm going to say fever dream, but that time period in NXT is just something that looks better and better as the years go by, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had so much utility over so many people, and that those people just haven't done anything ever since they got out of NXT.
Yeah. No, not at all. I mean, Malakai Black started, well, I guess he was on the main roster, so like, does that count?
Well, yeah, like, I'm not going to say that they didn't advance, and he kind of got a couple of pushes, honestly, and he had all of those segments right, literally right before they released him. Like, He had a feature segment like for two consecutive weeks on SmackDown, and then they let him go. It's just like, what the fuck is going on?
Attacks Big E and then disappears. Okay. Yeah, but in AEW, at least he had that feud with Cody.
And
then that's it, right?
Yeah.
Outside of this weird one now. So.
Yeah, he's been pretty short on big time feuds. You know, even if. You know, I do understand that not everyone's going to be able to wrestle for a championship. They haven't been in interesting feuds, even.
No. Yeah, but I don't know. There are still plenty of people that weren't used on the show, which maybe they're used for Rampage. I haven't looked at the spoilers. But, where the hell was Stokely Hathaway? Was Will Morrissey on last night? Did he just make a cameo or something?
Yeah, if he was on, it was just a cameo.
All right. Ethan Page wasn't on.
Oh.
Like, no Lance Archer. Hangman came out at least. That was fine. But it's like, all these guys are around. And there's more to list, but all these people are around, but you never see them. It's bizarre. And then to have bringing other people. See, I am getting back to this. Like, to bring in other people still rubs me the wrong way. Because I don't know if this is just a lack of having concrete plans. Like, did CM Punk mess up that much stuff? Did, like, the Bucks and Omega getting suspended and losing the Trios title, did that mess up that many plans?
Because
it seems like ever since, the show's just been in, like, make it up as we go.
I would say yes. Like, they spent, they even did the roundabout weird try and CM Punk is getting his redemption in Chicago thing, like, in a 2-week time period. Like, they really did go all in on them. And yeah, I don't know if it's the Bucks that have more of an obsession with the Trios title, or if it's just something that Tony Khan wants to do. When you have the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega in segments, you're going to feature them. You know what I mean? Like, those are two huge, or, you know, four huge pieces to take off the table. You know, I can't completely blame them for the train wreck that's ensued from that. Like, yeah, you were expecting this guy to be your champion. Like, you just said, oh, all these people that are saying I'm not getting a return on my investment haven't seen our, bottom line or whatever exactly Tony Khan said.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just like, yeah, you were definitely in on this guy, like, recently. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a huge blow. Like, it's so weird to see. And I think, you compared it to I think, the Ember Moon championship wins. Like, John Moxley is champion again, just. It's. I guess maybe it reminds me more, at least situationally, in a more recent way. Did Drew McIntyre drop the championship for like a month and then won it back? Or something like that?
Yeah, remember Randy Orton beat him and then he won it back. Like, for no reason, Randy Orton won.
Yeah, like, I know that how things have unfolded are much different. with this CM Punk John Moxley situation, but it also is, like the start stopness of it. It's kind of weird for me to have Moxley as champion. Like, they were doing a great job with him. Like, I felt like the fans were really into him as champion. It almost seemed weird to me to give it to CM Punk, even if he is a return on your investment. just because something organic had happened to, you know, relight the fire under Moxley to be a singles champion.
Yeah, I mean, the reason he's got that title is he is, it's funny, I don't know if he's the face of that place, but he's definitely, like, the heart of it. Like, I didn't think his promo was as amazing as everyone said it was when he came out after Punk and all of them got suspended. I thought it was good, I thought it was passionate, and I thought it was real. And it just kind of showed, like, who he is.
Oh,
and
right.
And the fans really took to it. So I can see why the title was given back to him, but I just thought it was oddly predictable. Not oddly predictable. It was predictable, but oddly anticlimactic.
Oh.
Like.
Yeah. It was one of those situations where, I really like him and what they've done with him. It just seemed like because of everything that's gone on, a fresh champion was the way to go. And Bryan Danielson is also as big a name as you have in your company. Possibly the biggest name you have in your company, honestly.
I don't know. I know, like, they changed the rules of this Joker chip now so we can cash in whenever. I still thought, and maybe they didn't want it just in New York because they didn't want to take the chance of getting cheered, which he's getting cheered anyways.
Oh.
But to have MJF be that champ, like, just, so Moxley is the heart of the place, right? He is the champ, he is the people's champion, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Have him win and have MJF immediately win it. And be like, wait a second, we got robbed. Because look at, I think the only example I can follow, even though it wasn't the plan back then, was Daniel Bryan beats John Cena, Triple H comes out, kicks him, Randy Orton wins the title, people are pissed. They're legit pissed and really got behind Daniel Bryan. And then as they kept seeing how things were going, really got behind him. And then you had, still, the greatest WrestleMania we've been to, him winning the title.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't the plan, but at least it worked out to where, you know, this could have happened. But I guess it'd be kind of weird having the good guy. Well, no, I guess it'd be the same. Yeah, it'd just be the same. It'd be the same. It was different stuff, so.
What situation are you talking about?
Well, okay, so you have, if you want to build this up, so Moxley gets screwed, we'll use those terms.
Yeah.
And then for the next 6 months, he's just chasing after MJF, but constantly having stuff get put in his way. And I was about to say it wasn't the same thing, but it is kind of the same thing. Except there's no authority keeping him down. It's an actual plan instead of, you know, the fans legitimately getting all over WWE's case and then CM Punk walking out, which helped. That's the only reason it even happened, which is just frightening to think.
Yeah, oh.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It just seems so odd. It just seems so predictable that to me it's just kind of like, eh.
Oh.
Whatever.
Yeah.
So, but. But yeah, but as I was saying, I don't know if we hit record or not, but wrestling was just kind of there this
week. Oh, yeah. We've been recording for like half an hour now.
Okay. I wasn't sure, because we were talking weather before, which we know was scintillating. Everything was just kind of there. And it started with Monday. Like, everything was fine on Monday. Edge comes back after what looked like something that should have kept him out for months.
That
was weird.
Yeah, well, Monday was all about good wrestling matches. Plain and simple. Like, because Chris and I went through it, I think that there were 5 matches over 12 minutes.
Yeah.
And 2 of them were in the 20-minute range.
Yes, there are.
That chewed up a lot of Monday Night Raw this past week.
Yeah. And I was listening to Observer Radio, and it was basically 10-minute promo, 20-minute match, 10-minute promo, 20-minute match, something like that. And it's like, I didn't realize that was going on until they pointed it out. And then I kind of was like, oh, yeah, it got kind of redundant after a while. So, but I mean, at least the matches make sense. They're not being made on the fly to just have something. So I was like, all right.
Oh.
But it kind of goes to the vignette thing. Intersperse some of those. Like, have something else going on. I mean, I guess that's what the Miz's stuff was. So.
Yeah, but with a 3-hour show, I think you could have a little bit more of it and not just the Miz be involved in it. It's great that the Miz and Dexter Lumis are doing it because I'm enjoying the hell out of that stuff.
It's so stupid. I mean, it really is dumb.
Well, yeah, anytime you do the why can't security do its job and then it doesn't do its job yet again.
Yeah. Well, if you really think about it, this guy abducted Miz. He broke into the Miz's house. He kept breaking into Raw. He was underneath the ring with a fucking knife. Was it a Bowie knife or hunting knife? Cut through the ring, tried to kidnap him again. Disappears. Corey Graves rightfully says, hey, is no one going to pay attention to the fact that Miz, like, Dexter Lumis is trying kidnapping Miz? And then this week, he's backstage. Like, what's going on here? Why is he in jail? Like, why'd the cops let him go? He was very clearly arrested on NXT. So, I don't know. Is he supposed to be, like, Michael Myers or Jason or something? Like, what the hell's going on?
I don't know. I'm just rolling with it. All of those questions are valid and are unanswered.
Yeah, because Triple H is the one that said he wanted to have more reality-based stuff. Hey, bud. I mean, that's not going to cut it. Like, I honestly thought they were going to go with Miz and Maryse versus Dexter and Indy. That's where it seemed like this was going.
Uh-oh.
But now, I just don't get it.
It's really getting drug out here. And, yeah, I guess I don't quite get what the end game is going to be.
Yeah. I legitimately have no idea where this is going. Like, is part of me that's wrapped out of my head is if all of a sudden Dexter joined up with Miz and Ciampa and he was, like, dressing like Miz. Like, all he wanted was acceptance. So now he gets to live the glam lifestyle that Miz does. I don't know. I don't even know if that would work. That was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah, fancy Dexter Lumis could be kind of funny. New sidekick to the Miz. There's definitely some potential, I think, in there. Will it happen? Yeah. I don't know, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But that's just like a small part, but... The rest of the show, there are still people that they don't use on Raw anymore. That they could. Like, and I'm being dead serious. Where is R-Truth at? I don't give a damn about the 24/7 title. That's fine. Bye. Where's R-Truth at?
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that could fill your itch for an extra segment in there.
Yeah.
Instead of just segment match.
I mean, he's a guy the crowd legitimately loves. You can use him to get anybody over. And it'll work. Like, where's Dolph as well? He hasn't been around for lately. That whole thing with him and Austin Theory just kind of got dropped.
Oh. Yeah, Johnny Gargano comes back and the other Cleveland guy got kicked to the curb.
Yeah. So Bobby Roode apparently just had surgery. He posted something on his Instagram page about being taken care of in Birmingham. So he apparently must have been hurt.
Oh.
But.
God bless Bobby Roode for representing the over 40 club.
Jinder Mahal got sent back down to NXT, which is fine. He's gonna be Sangha's partner. I guess they were tag teaming on the house shows over the weekend. They were tag team.
Yeah. Oh. Well, and it kind of makes some sense too, since they kind of did the Sangha is lost kind of segment this week on NXT.
Yeah. Well, I mean, two Indian playboys, you haven't really seen that before. I am still of the mind that Veer Mahan should be his playboy character that he portrays himself on Instagram. Fine suits, watches, cars, all that stuff, instead of this idiot savage with paint on his face. That was just dumb.
Yeah, rebooting characters would not be a bad thing. And carrying them over to the main roster would also be a good thing. We'll see if we get a little more continuity with things here in the future, instead of trying to reinvent the wheel when you don't need to.
Yeah. Now, I will say Raw did have some intriguing stuff. The AJ Styles Judgment Day thing.
Oh.
It was kind of weird. I mean, they attacked him and then didn't hurt him. I was like, all right, did they kind of, like, jump ahead for some reason? Like, was that just to get Edge back?
I don't know. There's enough, just because Finn and AJ do have a history, like, at this point, I feel like they've portrayed it enough, even on WWE TV, that it's an easy sell for me that maybe AJ Styles is going to side with Judgment Day sometime moving forward.
I can see that, but it's like, okay, so what is Judgment Day's purpose? They're not going after titles. They've got Dominic Mysterio, so they've ruined Edge and Dominic Mysterio's family bond. But what's the point of them? You know, like, even, like, the Wyatt family had a point to where they just wanted to infect the WWE. It's like, use Vince terms.
Oh, right.
You know? Yeah. He wanted to spread his word and destroy the idols. Well, Judgment Day is like, you know, we're here to give you judgment, but we'll accept you. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
They have not judged anything, really. Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Because they weren't even really the ones hardest on Ray about his bad parenting skills. Honestly. Yeah. You know? Like, I feel like that's come from other sources. Not the Judgment Day.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't get their purpose. Without going after titles, it doesn't make any sense to me. Without having a clear direction other than, hey, we're just going to get people to join our group, I don't understand what they're there for. But at least them using big words has been toned down. Thank God. Like, we're here for the utter and complete annihilation of your nihilistic soul. Like, oh my God. Some emo garbage, like, shut up. But it's gone now, so that's good. So, but I don't really know what else happened on Raw. Seth attacked Riddle after the cameras went off. That was pretty cool to find out. I like that. Is Lashley hurt? He hasn't wrestled in a while.
I don't know. I mean, he challenged Seth if he wanted some championship gold. He wasn't on this week, though, I don't think.
Oh, yeah, he was. Cause remember, he told Riddle to stay out of his matches.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. So he faced Seth last week. Duh. All right. Never mind. I mean, you don't have to wrestle every week, which is good, but...
No. Lashley doesn't need to wrestle every week for sure. And he had kind of been on a long streak of wrestling, honestly. Like, he's definitely been out there a good bit as U.S. champion defending that. Because it's U.S., isn't it?
Yeah. Gunther's the Intercontinental.
Okay. I still don't remember which is which.
Well, I'll tell you what really helped was Clash at the Castle. It was clear as day that was the Intercontinental title, because they made a big deal out of Sheamus hadn't won it yet, and that Gunther is this. And I'm like, okay, all right, I know which one is which now.
Yeah.
And also, Raw had all those, you know, the talking points and vignettes about how important the United States title is. So, which they've kind of backed off of, but having a good guy champion who defends it all the time does help.
That is an easy W for crowd support.
Yeah, I mean, he was also stuck like wrestling theory, Austin Theory all the time, whatever else. So that's over at least. But yeah, that was fine. But that was really all I really got out of Raw. Like, having the tag team titles and the, I guess it was the WWE Championship that was on Raw, being controlled on the other show isn't helping matters.
Oh.
Like, there's not a lot to fight for except the United States Championship and the Women's Championship on Raw.
Yeah, the title unification seemed good in theory. But when the person that has that title just negotiates a contract to have less dates, it really does not help matters out at all.
Yeah, no, it really doesn't. Then you had a good opportunity to change it, but I guess they're sticking to their long-term plan, whatever that may be. And I guess I got to give them credit for that. So I don't know if I'm going to like the long-term plan. It seems to hinder some stuff in the meantime, but, you know.
Yeah.
It's given us, well, you don't even need the title, but it's like, the whole, going back to SmackDown had some good shit on it. And it was like the weekend, they were like, all right, we're going to tone it down. AEW goes, oh yeah, we're going to be boring too. Not boring, but just like, yeah, whatever. Because Braun Strowman and Otis was the highest rated segment on the show, like viewers.
Oh.
That is insane. And then, like, the whole Roman-Sammy thing, as soon as I saw him holding something in his hand, I was like, oh, he's going to give him a different shirt. But the build-up to that, just so good. Everyone's playing their part perfectly.
Yeah.
I mean, John's celebrating. Solo's like, all right, I'm done with this. Jay's pissed in the corner. Paul Heyman doesn't really understand what's going on. And then Roman just like, I got it all under control. And then Sammy's the gleeful kid wanting to hang with the cool kids. Who got accepted, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, it's some brilliant work there with that crew. I'll say that pretty much as long as this stuff goes on. Like, it's been really well written so far.
Yeah, and again, it's the people involved are all top notch. I mean,
yeah.
Paul Heyman, Roman Reigns, who, after all these years, they push him as this and this and this, and the fans were like, no. Well, we'll make him kind of like Brock Lesnar. He only talks when he wants to, and he's just smooth. And, yeah, the fans will just hate it. Hey, dummies, that's what we've always wanted. Like, just let him be himself. And then you get the Usos, finally, like, they had found their character anyways, but then they just join in. You've got Sami Zayn, who, beyond the hell of a wrestler, I mean, he's killing it this year.
Oh.
He made that stuff with Jackass work.
One of the most inventive matches at WrestleMania. As far as, you know, getting the story over and execution of the match. I'm okay if you didn't like the match, I suppose, but the execution was really there.
Well, it's funny, because I know Jim Cornette's always like a Hot Topic name, but he hates everything new, and he actually loved it.
Oh.
So if you can get an old curmudgeon who hates everything, and almost everything new, if you can get him to be like, yeah, this is really good, that you did your job right and excelled at it. And then it was cool because I watched the Austin Sami Zayn Broken Skull sessions, and Sami was actually breaking down the match.
Oh.
And it was really interesting to get like the perspective of the person in the match, what he was doing. He was going like beat by beat. So that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, I might eventually check that out. Who knows?
Again, those things you don't really have to watch. You can just listen. So that's what I do.
Oh,
I just work. I can turn and look. If there's something I think I need to see, I can look. But just listening to them are fine. And it's so funny because Austin's the one that picks them all. So he generally wants to talk to these people. So it's pretty cool that way. So,
yeah. I mean, Sammy has been around for quite some time at this juncture, both in the WWE and in wrestling in general.
Yeah, it's amazing how long he's been around. And he's still relatively young, too, which I can start to say that about everybody, really. So, well, dude, like, as an aside, I sent you those pictures from my meet this week, last weekend.
Yeah.
The kid on the podium that came in third, he's 13. That kid is a hoss. I went up to him after. I was like, hey man, how old are you? Because someone would say he was 13. I was like, whatever. And so he's like, I'm 13. I was like, what? I was like, kid, you are fucking awesome. And I immediately went, nice job, dumbass. Just swore in front of a kid. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. He's like, oh, no, it's okay. I'm like, all right. I was like, good, because you're fucking awesome, dude. I was like, if you stick with this, like, you can probably go far. At 13 years old, he wasn't too much further behind me. I'm not exactly, aces or anything, but I can throw some heavy shit around. And even if he doesn't, that'll help if he wants to play football or when he gets rid of his baby fat being young.
Oh.
He'll be just anything. He'll be athletic as hell.
Yeah.
That was crazy, but I'll talk the rest of it off the air. But yeah. So, I don't know.
I don't know. Why
no,
did
it's
I...
just like the age of Sami Zayn and
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, so then you had Braun Strowman and Otis, which was good. And by the way, how much of a mistake does it look like getting rid of Braun Strowman? That crowd is insane for him. He had the highest rated segment, like his match was the highest rated part of SmackDown. And I love Otis. It ain't Otis.
Yeah, he's still going to be kind of... If they do a better job of keeping him as more of a... he should be a guy that's almost on a Roman Reigns-like schedule. You know? He's great, but you can also only have him interact with so many people. And make it a believable segment. So him getting time off... In the future, I would be all for. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's great, but yeah, like, because he's fucking enormous and now just jacked to the gills, I'm buying even less matchups for him. Like, God bless him for getting in that shape. But you've really got to sell me on someone who can beat Braun Strowman. You know, it definitely seems like Omos might be cannon fodder for Braun Strowman here.
Okay, so on that, didn't Omos beat him before?
I don't believe so.
Somebody beat Braun Strowman. I could have swore it was him. And then he was gone like a week or two later.
Oh.
So.
Yep, you're going to have to look up if you want that answer.
Taking Omos, who is much taller than him, over Braun Strowman is just bad news. Because Omos, unfortunately, did not have the people around. He had AJ Styles. And this is obviously no offense to AJ Styles. What is Omos going to learn from a guy that's not even 6 feet tall? And I'm not saying that with disrespect. You wrestle completely different. So maybe how to conduct himself as a professional. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Like, there are some things that he can teach him. You're correct, though, that it's a little bit of a limited amount of stuff that he can teach him. Like, he needs another guy who's at least within his size caliber to help him out.
Yeah. Apparently Kevin Nash was working with him for a little bit. I don't think he is anymore.
Uh-oh.
So, I mean, maybe that should tell you something. But then
that he hasn't improved and Kevin Nash worked with him.
I mean, it's not, I don't know. It's funny, Kevin Nash has been around forever. He's rich as shit off of wrestling. He's been in memorable angles. I can't really tell you too many of his matches.
Oh.
You know? Like, yeah. I couldn't tell you if he was good or not. Like, I liked him when I saw him, so I guess that's all that matters, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting, he's an interesting case. Obviously, he impacted the wrestling business as nearly as much as anyone else. So his name's always going to stay around there. But yeah, quality match-wise, pretty limited list. Like, when one of your main matches remembered is the Finger Poke of Doom match, you're not exactly up there with the technicians of the world.
Well, no, but that's like judging people on one match.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
judging Daniel Bryan on his match against Sheamus at WrestleMania.
Exactly. So, like, booking decisions, yeah, it was a bad idea, but he's like, hey, I got paid, so I just go and do what I'm told. But it's like, cause I know there was an Undertaker match at WrestleMania, and In Your House with Shawn Michaels. Goldberg and him had that one, when he defeated Goldberg for the first time. Like, he's had memorable stuff.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, those are the only three that come to mind right now. But he'd be sitting, like, if he heard this, which he won't. But if he heard this, he'd be like, you idiots. It doesn't matter, but the match quality doesn't matter.
Oh.
The money, it's like, yeah, you're right. So, you got it, sir. So Friday started out, but then what I was getting at with Strowman was, and Omos, so Omos is given AJ. Strowman was given Bray Wyatt and Brody Lee, Luke Harper at the time, because Eric Rowan was hurt.
Right.
You're hanging with those guys. Then Eric Rowan comes in, so you're learning from the three of them. I mean, the creativity of Bray Wyatt, like the business passion that Brody Lee had, and then Eric Rowan having to work on being a big guy. Look at the tree you got to learn under. That's why Strowman is the way he is. He's even said so.
Oh.
But it's like, so who, like, I don't put them, because those were all big dudes too, which is another helpful part of it. Because I was gonna say put him with Shelton Benjamin, but Shelton's what, 6'1"? It's not really gonna help.
No, because all of the other big guys that they have are, I mean, I think that they're good. Well, I at least think one is good. Donovan Dijakovic, I think, is a good wrestler.
Good call. Good call.
Honestly, but you know, he hasn't exactly gotten a whole lot of chances since the regime change. So, you know, I don't know exactly where he is in the pecking order, but it's not, to me, it's not a good position.
I think it'd be nice if he just disappeared and then bring him back as Dominic, as Dijak. Bring him back as Dijak, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. He's Dijak one of the few ones where I'm like, yeah, just call him that. Like, it makes a lot of sense to go with one name.
Yeah, Donovan Dijak, that's fine. Because they like to have two names again, thank God. That's fun. Because I don't know if Dijak is too close to Ryback, to be completely serious.
Uh-oh.
You know, don't want reminders or the crowd chanting Ryback at you or something like that, if they even remember him. I don't know.
It's... But that has to be a while ago.
It's got to be 10 years, right? Seriously.
Yeah, that is one that I am interested enough in to get onto Wikipedia.
No, I don't think it is, because we saw him in Dallas, so that'd be 32.
Right? It's been quite a while.
God, it's only 6 years. It does seem like forever ago, and maybe that's because he wasn't prominent at all when he disappeared, you know?
Yeah, that's crazy, though, that he also started on Tough Enough in 2004. So he was around for 12 years.
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's right, because wasn't he Skip Sheffield?
Yes.
Which is his real name, or was? I don't know. Has he pulled a Warrior and just changed it into Ryback?
Yes. Because that's... I actually found it. Although they do have his full name here.
Okay. Jesus. Anyways. What the hell was his name? Didn't he have some other name? He was
Ryan Allen Reeves is his Ryan birth name.
Yeah. But he had some like Terminator name. Whatever. Far too much conversation about Ryback.
They just have Skip Sheffield, Ryback, Ryan Reeves, and the big guy. His surnames.
Alright. Alright. Well, go for him then. But, yeah, so like Raw, then we go to NXT. Okay. Tony D'Angelo legit got hurt in that match.
Oh, dude. You know what? That's a moment that I definitely wanted to talk about. You could see on Wesley's face, he's like, oh, shit. He is legit injured. Like, he got the win. You know, like, that was one of those ones where you could see he was living through that. Like, he knew what was up. Like, just because he had gone through something of a major injury, I think he was feeling extra sympathetic to Tony D'Angelo. Because, yeah, that match just kind of ended out of the blue. And it's just like, oh my gosh. Like, you just kind of saw it happen. You saw him grab at his knee, and it's just like, oh boy. Like, especially since nothing really happened. That's one of those ones where when you see someone go for something after seemingly nothing happened, it's usually a giant problem.
Yeah. Well, see, I was trying to figure out, did he just bang his knee? Like, is he not wearing knee pads? Because for the replays they showed, it didn't look like his knee buckled at all. It looked like he just came down on it really hard.
Yeah, like there was, when I ended up, cause I had forgotten that he was legit injured in this match. And then I was just like, I rewatched the entire show, at some point. So I rewatched that And yeah, like it was one of those moments where you didn't think that much of it, honestly. Like it just looked like he took a drop toe hold into a turnbuckle. And honestly, if anything, I would say that they took it slow. You know what I mean? Like, it almost looked clunky. But not in a, oh shit, he just tore his knee kind of a way. Like, it just didn't look very smooth. It just looked like he kind of fell face first.
Yeah, I think that Wesley thought he blew, like hurt his knee. Because it was the whole, you know, typical trip, so he clipped the knee, that sort of thing. I get the feeling he thought, oh shit, I just knocked off the meal ticket. Because Tony D'Angelo obviously is going to the main roster eventually.
No.
Because he's just, he is good in the ring. The characters, they've kind of toned the character down a little, so that's nice. But, you know, so he's like, oh god, I don't want to be the guy to mess up the meal ticket. And then I kind of like how they played it into a story. So Wesley's like, yeah, I want to win the match, and I am excited, but I'm not out there to hurt people. I'm out there to win matches.
Oh.
Which is the opposite of a lot of bad guys, where all they want to do is inflict pain and all this stuff. So it was a nice contrast in that aspect. Because you don't hear about that part of it much.
Yeah, there was one other match that I definitely want to talk about that had something of that element in it. I don't think it's an oh no. That Sol Ruka, just, I'm thinking about the sportsmanship after the match. I'm just like, okay, guys, this isn't that part to me wasn't necessary and seemed overindulgent. Oh my god. Her athleticism, I that was eye popping to me.
I'm going to have to watch that back. She didn't make much of an impression, but I think I was getting ready. I was checking out of the show already.
Yeah, because, again, that was one that I watched it the first time, and I was a little bit distracted because I was working while watching it. So the second go-round, I wasn't working when I watched it. I'm just like, oh, my God, like, I'm not saying that the match was great or that she couldn't improve or anything. Her, like, she's one of those women where I know that, like, Casey Catanzaro was a gymnast. It's different when you're, like, I don't know what she was a gymnast for the University of Oregon, and I don't know how good Oregon's program is necessarily. When you get someone who's like Charlotte's height, and I'm just like, oh my god. It's what, to me, it's just I see a lot of potential there. Will it ever get completely put together? I don't know, but that athleticism really kind of stood out to me. Again, I'm not saying that her matchup with was it Marissa Miller?
Yeah, fodder number two. Sure. Just like the weird fodder Ricky Starks fought on Dynamite. Like, who, what? Okay.
Oh, I can't remember who he fought, honestly, Ricky
Starks. No, that's what I'm getting at. It was some nobody. It was the weirdest thing. Hey, Ricky Starks is up next. Oh, are him and Will Hobbs going at it again? No, just some dude. Huh? Why? Hey, we have Ricky Starks on. Okie dokie. So, but yeah. No, the thing I remember about Sol Ruka is her music. Because it was surf music. I thought, oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, Amari Miller.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is he a basketball player? Seriously.
I believe there's an Amari Cooper. No, that's a football player, isn't it? Yeah, that's the Browns wide receiver. Never mind. Wrong Amari. But, yeah, she didn't seem like the biggest person. It seemed like Ruka was trying to do some flips in that type of thing. And having a smaller person be your base is probably not the best thing in the world.
No, but I think it's also to establish just how tall she is. You know?
Yeah, and so. I think that was the other thing that stood out to me. Like, she's not big, but she is pretty daggone tall.
Yeah, I don't know where she came from. I'm guessing some other athletic background, so.
Yeah, well, like I said, I know that they mentioned on there that she was at the University of Oregon for gymnastics.
Oh, okay. All right. But gymnastics just seems like it's a perfect segue into this stuff anyways.
Oh.
Not football, not weightlifting, whatever else. Gymnastics seems like the perfect way into this because you have body control. So, like, obviously you have to use the falling, you know, correctly. But being limber, having, like, a athletic build on you, not overly muscular, but a good athletic build.
Oh, right.
I think amateur wrestling helps a lot, too. But I think those are the two. But that's just a little aside, that's all. So, but yeah, like, NXT, like, what else was on NXT? Like, the Damon Kemp match, like, okay.
Oh.
Just saw that coming. Okay. It was too soon for that.
Yeah, I was kind of shocked that that match was even taken. Like, I know that you have two different creeds to go through in this situation. I was still a little shocked that this week was going to be one of the weeks already.
Yeah. Like, what are we hurrying this up for? Unless they're building a Halloween Havoc for some reason. So.
Yeah, well, and what are they going to do? Is Roderick going to side with Damon Kemp so that we can have a tag team match at Halloween Havoc?
No, he's going to say Pretty Deadly is going to be his partner, but I'm not kidding either.
Oh. That would make a great deal of sense to have a six-man match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you can have Roddy come back and put Diamond Mine back together, essentially.
Have him make up with the creeds. Yeah, I could see that as a way to go. If you want to.
Yeah, and I mean, you can even bring Ivy Nile back in the fold. Last Legend's still around there somewhere. With Pretty Deadly. So, which actually would have been perfect if she's in one of their vignettes later. A day of life, and I was like, then we meet. Like, okay, so let's just talk about this vignette real quick. They really went ambiguously gay duo in this.
Oh.
Which is fucking great. Because I went and I was like, wait a minute, are they trying to tell us they're gay now? And then what tipped me off at the end was just they went to bed in the same bed, which is fucking great, but they turned their backs to each other. So two people in a couple don't do that. Unless you're fighting, obviously. So that made me laugh. Like, it's like they brush their hair each for an hour. They pick out their wardrobes. Their favorite place to eat is in bed. And they serve each other. They, like, feed each other. Like, this is fantastic. I hope they do this every week. Another day in the life of. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous what Pretty Deadly has going on. It's, yeah, it definitely makes for some entertaining TV.
Mm-hmm. I'm all for goofy stuff like this because they're portrayed as that. They're effeminate, I don't know, you're not supposed to say faggy, but that's like the perfect word for it if you're our generation. But they're not. So, it's just like, what are we watching here? And it just cracks me up. I mean, especially the one guy just in bed with his title belt on, spreading his legs. Like, what the fuck is going on here? But I'm going to cheer these guys now.
Oh.
I'm getting behind, I always get behind the goofiness. And that's just what's going to happen. And
yeah.
I thought how awesome it would be if the Revival was the NXT and they were the opponents. The contrast in personalities alone would be great. But.
Yeah. There's a chance that the Revival wins the NXT championships before they win the AEW championships.
There's a chance that the Revival is on NXT before they're on Dynamite again. Trust me, that was not lost on me. That last week, the Acclaim are out there saying they have... I know I just jumped to AEW, but we'll go back. The Acclaim, like, we have an open contract for next week. Okay. Wasn't FTR just saying they've been the number one contender since May? Why is there an open contract? Doesn't make any fucking sense. But anyways, we go back to NXT. So, but yeah, like, Joe Gacy beating Cameron Grimes just shows they have no idea what to do with Cameron Grimes.
Oh, that is getting to be such a head scratcher for me. Why is he in NXT? Like, I am so confused. Like, that's one that with Triple H, just like, why he didn't get to call, and just kind of speaking of general call-ups, Santos Escobar comes and picks up his crew.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen them on TV now since that happened.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm cool with all them going up to the main roster. It seems like it's a main roster worthy gimmick. Where are they?
I'm wondering if... Weren't they supposed to have a draft, or are we just getting rid of that? Because I thought the draft was supposed to happen, and I can see them getting drafted in that, which I always think is a stupid way of introducing somebody. Or they show up after Extreme Rules. Because... Well, no, because that's Joaquin Wilde and...
I do think that there is supposed to be a draft again.
Because the Usos need somebody. So...
Yeah, because they already dispatched the Brawling Brutes.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they need someone new again. And I guess I did not realize that one of the War Raiders got injured?
No one did. That's why I've...
Oh.
I don't know, dude. I don't like... I'm not going to say I don't like them. I've just never gotten behind them. They've had such an up-and-down career in WWE.
It's been a real podge-podge, to say the least. Because I can remember some of that stuff with them and the Street Profits was kind of funny.
Yeah, that was the best stuff they've done. And it wasn't even a wrestling capacity. It was just... vignettes again.
Yeah.
It's also during the pandemic, so, you know, you want to go and do different stuff.
There is definitely something lacking during that time period.
Yeah.
Just in general, like, as much as I have awarded many a pandemic MVP, well, not really that many, but there are definitely their fair share of them. There was definitely something lacking with a lot of different situations during that time period. No crowds in something that really does kind of work off of a crowd is a pretty tough sell. Like, you can do it every now and again. You know, I don't think anyone's... Well, I'm sure that people didn't like it, but what was that? Wasn't it Mick Foley and The Rock? Was that the halftime match or whatever that was?
Yeah, the empty arena one.
Empty arena match. You know, there are definitely some situations where you can pull it off and get good television out of it. But doing it for multiple months on end, well, for 2 years pretty much on end, is not the ideal situation to be running a business or a wrestling operation that way.
Yeah, but I don't know. What else happened on NXT? Alba Fire said something.
Yeah, well, we got through most of it there. What else did we... Oh, yeah, there was just the Caden Carter and Nikita Lyons match.
Which I don't know why they had that, but whatever.
It's still strange to me. I'm like, both Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons were super pushed as singles. And now I'm like, why are we, ever since the women's tag team tournament there, where they were supposed to be together, they have really made a story out of the two of them being tag team partners. And
which this is a case, and I've been this is the theme of this episode. Vignettes for these two. We need to know why they're hanging out together, why they talk to each other, why they have anything to do with each other. Nothing's been explained.
They at least have better chemistry than Zoe Stark and Io Shirai.
But at least Io made it funny, or tried to, by saying she didn't like her. You know, so you had like that oddball thing, where this is, they're just together. Well, why are you guys together? Because we're together.
Yeah, I think I just got tired of the oddball thing, because I'm like, oh, so you're going with the obvious thing here, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they made Zoe Stark just look so stupid within doing that. It was just like...
Was that the one where she didn't like sushi or didn't know what sushi was?
Yeah. yeah, I'm sorry. Everyone that age knows what sushi is at this juncture. You know, well, like... I'm sorry, Vince, to inform you that, yes, most of everyone is at least aware of the concept of sushi now.
Yeah.
Not that he's gonna listen to this either, but, I think that it was A, too obvious of a call, and B, they made Stark look so stupid in most of those that it wasn't really beneficial to anyone. And Stark, most of all, since Io Shirai was already kind of an established character.
Yeah, and then her getting hurt and then losing her revenge match. That's still a very odd choice to have happen, but whatever.
Yes. Yeah. Zoe Stark has had a weird reboot, and it's also even stranger that they spent that whole match talking about tag team chemistry when it was a singles match. You know, because Caden Carter and Katana Chance don't think that Zoe Stark and Nikita Lyons have any tag team chemistry. And it's just like, well, you're in a singles match right now, so tag team chemistry doesn't matter one fucking iota also, currently.
But also, isn't that good? You don't want them to have tag team chemistry so you can beat them easier?
Yeah, that's kind of one of those, you're giving away your game plan here, people.
Who did Mandy Rose obliterate with that knee? Was that Fallon Henley?
Yes.
Okay. Holy shit. That was rough. I mean, she obviously didn't hit her, but both of them made that look amazing. So...
That was kind of a weird one in some ways. I understand that Mandy Rose can use the occasional TV win here during her championship reign. Having a minor run-in backstage is not the, to me, impetus for the type of match that ended up happening.
Yeah. And then there's... Oh, okay, so I'm... I guess I just don't like Brooks and Jensen.
Oh. But
this is actually a bigger problem for me is they brought all these NXT people in. Every single one of them is jobbing out. All of them.
The UK people, you mean, to be completely clear.
When I say NXT people, sorry.
Yeah.
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 Every one of them. And even, all right, it's even down to the point where JD McDonagh came over from NXT UK as Jordan Devlin came over and became JD McDonagh. So he became an NXT guy who then defeats an NXT UK guy in Tyler Bates. It's down to that, to where it's like, why bother bringing him in? I honestly don't understand this. Like, Blair Davenport hasn't been seen since, so maybe she's not going to live here, she won't be here, whatever.
After the three-way match?
Yes, because I was saying she should have been the one to win that. Something new, someone new as well. And with this show, it doesn't matter if you're over or not, that crowd's going to do whatever they want anyways. And then, like, Sotomayor, she was on. She lost that match, won her next match, and has been gone since. Dallas is on there. Loses. And I just kind of threw my arms up, like, why are the NXT UK guys here?
That result, like, I enjoyed the match. I get the gimmick. And I think I've said it before, the country boy gimmick definitely has some play if should you want to go that route, because I just don't feel like they've had the country boy kind of gimmick in a long time anywhere in the WWE.
I don't know. I guess Jensen's just not impressive to me at all. I don't buy him. Briggs is slimmed down.
Yeah, he's still a big dude, though.
Yeah. Well, he's slimmed back down to where his, like, Josh Briggs and Evolve was.
Because
he got pretty husky when he first arrived, which I don't know if that was mandated or not. But I don't mind him. I don't mind the team. I just don't like it. And I don't like that they're just coming in. And really, they're just like the top of the mountain for this, to where all the NXT UK people are jobbers.
This was a result where I guess I knew that Briggs and Jensen went over there and won the NXT UK titles. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I really expected Gallus to win this one.
So did I.
You know, I was really, like, this was, because it was right before Chris and I recorded, I watched the end of that match, and I'm just like, oh my god. Like, I was legitimately surprised by that result. And just because, yeah, like, even though Briggs and Jensen won the tag team the UK championships, I just felt like they still never took them seriously. And, it's one of those, if you don't take them seriously, how do you expect me to take them seriously?
Yeah.
So them getting a big win was pretty surprising, even though, again, they had held championships before. That Gallus potentially could have held themselves.
Yeah, and I mean, but it's like, it's like I said, that was just the tip of the iceberg on this. Everyone else is losing too, and it doesn't make sense.
Oh,
because if you're gonna establish an NXT Europe, right? I'm guessing these guys are going back over there. well, why would you, if you want people in America to watch, why would you want them to watch a product full of guys and gals who can't beat the people over here? Like, I'm dead serious. Dragunov should beat, I keep on calling
Braun
Steiner,
Breaker.
Braun Breaker. He honestly should win that match. Because that dude's awesome, and surprisingly, being around those guys, he's not that much smaller.
Oh.
I thought he was skinny as hell, but he's not. So.
No, he is not tall. He is vertically challenged. He is a thick boy, though.
Yeah, yes, I was very surprised. Like, Jordan Devlin, is JD McDonough, he's just an awkward-looking man.
Yes, yeah.
And Elise actually asked if he had, like, some dwarfism in him. And I went, I'm not sure. Not in a mean way.
Yeah, and if you told me that that was true way, I'd be like, oh, okay, yep, I get it. Like... I would certainly understand if that would end up being the case. Yeah, giant forehead, all the other stuff. Like, he kind of has a bobblehead kind of body. So yeah, and it is weird. Like, yeah, JD McDonagh gets done beating Tyler Bate and then has to again face someone else from NXT UK. pretty much in Dragunov. And yeah, one of them needs... Yeah, someone in that crew needs a win. Because even, honestly, I know that Alba Fyre has been around on the NXT main roster for a while at this point. Like you said, she just kind of lit something on fire and we're supposed to be impressed.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Okay. Like, I've definitely heard the reputation from you about how good she is.
Yeah.
The NXT main roster stuff has been blah at best.
Exactly. You know, you're exactly right. I don't get it. But she was also in there with Lash Legend, too. And I also don't think she's one that's going to go into a main roster spot. She could, talent-wise, she absolutely could. But I just think there's something holding her back that they don't want another accent on the show. They got enough of them. That's my legitimate thought on that.
Well, if they're not going to call up Mandy Rose at this point, I'm not sure who else is necessarily going to get the call up from
the
women's division right now. Like, it does seem like they have enough truly young people that it could go for a, you know, the women could go for a while before someone breaks into the main roster.
I thought Toxic Attraction was going to be up for a little bit, but I guess that was just to make good on the tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Which I think was necessary, but...
Yeah, they're the main three, honestly, as far as who would come up next. After those three, though, I got nothing for you.
Oh, Nikita Lyons, just for the way she looks.
Her and Zoe Stark, I guess. I feel like that's the reason they're being teamed together. And Stark's kind of been weirdly pushed.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Even though she did not get the revenge win. They're giving her more, you know, even more TV time here with Nikita Lyons. So it's just like, they must see something there. Yeah, but the women are a little further off from getting onto the main roster than a decent chunk of the guys. It does seem like the guys have gotten enough TV time here in the last year to put their characters over for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got AEW, which was just a whatever show as well. So everyone's based on bagging on the Saraya stuff. It wasn't good, whatever. She admitted, yeah, I was pretty nervous. Okay. It happens. it sucks it happens in your debut, but that crowd's forgiving, so you get away with it. But
oh,
I love the fact they tried telling us it was a lumberjack match when a majority of the women's roster was not at ringside. I have the AEW roster up. There are a ton of women that were not there.
Yeah, it was 4 and 4 on each side. Wasn't it? Or were there actually more of them there?
4 on 4?
Yeah, wasn't it 4 people on one side and 4 people on the other?
Yeah.
Yes. Wasn't it only 8 women surrounding the ring total?
Yeah. Yes. And back to the page here, actually, let's see. People that weren't there, 1, 2, 3... 4, 5, 6, 7. Nah, she won't be out there. She's hurt. 8. She's hurt. 9, 10.
Keep going. Come on. We stalling out at 10.
There's at least on the from their roster page. There's at least 13 people that could be out there.
Holy.
That's not including the people who were out there. So,
that's a lot of people. It's a lot of people twiddling their thumbs.
Like Thunder Rosa's hurt. Ruby Soho's hurt. Paige Van Zandt, I was going to say, she's never there, so whatever. Layla Hirsch, Mercedes Martinez, Chris Statlander. I didn't include Jake Cargill in that because she wouldn't be out there. But
nope.
But yeah, all those people are hurt.
She's off in her own little universe.
And that's why, like, that's why it's so disingenuous for... And I know why she said it, but she said it. For Saraya to go, Toni Storm's our best women's champion. No, she's clearly not. Just by win-loss, that's Jade Cargill. Like, I don't understand how the women's championship and the TBS championship are living in these two totally separate worlds.
Tony Khan has not taken the time to acknowledge this rift. I think that especially recently, within the last month or so, it's become glaring. You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't notice it before, Jade Cargill is at the point where she's out of female opponents that aren't it's just like her and Britt Baker haven't really interacted. I know heel, all that other garbage, but you know, they haven't interacted that much. And I'm trying to think of kind of some of the other big names. She hasn't had a match against like even a Hikaru Shida or something like that,
who's back in Japan apparently, so be 12 people then.
Oh.
So they have other Japanese wrestlers on there, but
okay.
Yeah, man, that segment just wasn't good. The match was whatever. That avalanche pile driver is dumb. Don't ever do that again.
Oh.
Or save it for something huge. Not
for a dynamite.
Not a TV match. We lose something?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, you're looking down. I was like, oh, shit.
No. No, I was just scanning through the dynamite results to get a refresher. Just because we touched base on some of the other stuff. Already, I was just checking to see what else was there to talk about ahead of closing up shop here. Oh my gosh, I forgot that was Eli Isom that was on against Ricky Starks.
That's who it was, yes.
Just because I did see him a decent chunk in at the end of ROH there.
No. So, I'm trying to remember what else was on the show. I think we actually covered most of it.
Yeah, because it was Moxley against Juice Robinson.
who, I know we brought this up in the past, but whose star has fallen faster?
Oh, no one.
He was on everyone. I mean, he was on the tip of everyone's tongue for wrestling. Oh, look at how much he's, look at Juice. Juice this, Juice this, Juice that. And then now it's just like, oh, it's Juice Robinson.
Yeah.
So, I don't get what happened.
I don't either.
Yeah. And then the main event was good. I knew of Bandido. I saw some of his matches. Oh. This one, I was like, oh, this guy's really good. Like, he's really good.
Yeah. I really dig Bandido. Since I had watched a good chunk of the dying days of at least the original incarnation of ROH. I don't know how you want to word that one, but yeah, the recent ending here. And yeah, Bandido, pretty awesome. I kind of knew that, though, as soon as he had a match against Chris Jericho, that he was catching the L on this one.
Oh, of course. But Jericho did a lot to make him look good. I mean, he was that vertical suplex that lasted almost a minute, I guess?
at least a 30 count or something close to it, it felt like.
Just insane. And I'd like to see him some more. I don't know if I want him in AEW so we can just stand around and do nothing. But I think he showed up in TNA or MLW.
Still calling it TNA, huh?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Impact. That's it's been TNA for a long time.
You're the super fan of Impact, so.
I'm telling you, man, since I lost Access TV, I've kind of lost touch with it.
Oh.
I keep checking on YouTube to find the people, like, putting the feed of Impact up. But they do a decent job of putting their highlights up so I can follow along with the story.
Oh, okay.
Their big problem with them now is going to be wrestlers being more open or adept to trying WWE now. To where before it was like, oh, no, we're leaving for AEW. Now they have more choices. So keeping the guys that they want to keep or any of that stuff is going to prove to be pretty difficult for them. I mean, hell, Will Morrissey just left.
No. To not do anything in AEW.
Yep. So.
Hey, always fun to get paid and not do anything. Oh, you want me to go to the gym? Great, I'll go to the gym. Have fun. Oh, man. But,
I mean, even Ethan Page left Impact Wrestling to do nothing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he had a feud with Darby. It looked like he was going to turn on Scorpio Sky and never did. And he's just doing whatever now. Now his dream is to win the Mid-Atlantic Championship? Like, what? Go back to Impact. But it also comes down to money, too. So, you know. AEW's going to pay you more. Do you sacrifice doing what you want for the paycheck? I mean, dead serious? Or do you take less money to go do what you want? Like, did you build up enough money so you don't have to worry about that?
So. Yeah. Do you want to be somewhere where you're important, or do you want to be somewhere where you're getting paid well?
And my thing with, I like the storyline of Chris Jericho being a reprehensible champion. But
oh, my God.
It doesn't make any sense in the context of being on an AEW show. If everybody, if they had their own Ring of Honor show and everyone followed the code of honor, no one cheated, right?
Yeah.
Then this would make way more sense. It doesn't make sense because everybody cheats or does something wrong in AEW. Everyone does. So, yeah. Like, hitting a ring announcer that no one really knows. And I know, like, the AEW crowd's supposed to be smart. Oh, that's blah, blah, blah. Like, okay.
Bobby Cruz.
Yeah. Now, if he hits the fat referee, that would get a reaction.
Oh, Todd Sinclair.
Thank you. I kept wanting to call him Scott Sinclair, and I knew that was wrong. So.
Yeah. It's Well, it was a little bit surprising this week that I do feel like people did not sing along to the Chris Jericho theme song like they had been. I don't know if wherever, I'm trying to remember where they were now, and I can't off the top of my head.
No. But they also, that was the second time they heard it, too.
Oh. You know,
for that segment in the beginning that went way too damn long. That really was just kind of rudderless. Like, alright, so,
yeah.
I guess to wrap up the AEW stuff, did Daniel Garcia turn on Chris Jericho, or... Because they just kind of disappeared.
He was with the group the last time Jericho was talking about something.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I need to talk to you, and nothing's come of it.
Yeah. And then he was going to say something. Jericho cuts him off. Bryan Danielson comes out, does a bunch of talking, and all of a sudden he's fighting Daddy Magic. I'm like, what? What happened to the Daniel Garcia stuff? And they never went back to it. Like, I kind of dig, if this is how they're going, which I can kind of see, the pure championship's kind of stupid. The rules are kind of confusing. It's, okay, whatever. So you
well,
have
it would work for... AEW more than any company because of the mass level of cheating in that organization.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, to have a championship where you're not allowed to cheat, and they're, oh, I forgot about that because I haven't talked about that either. Tony Khan trying to turn that whole referee thing into an angle. And then it not even being a good angle. Oh, my God. My brain hurts already just thinking about that.
It's like, all right, you acknowledge it, and then your booking practices still allow the same thing. And it's like, this is stupid.
Well, in the way that they made up for it on Rampage was disqualifying Eddie Kingston for his after-the-match shenanigans. And it's just like... How does that prove that the referee is paying attention in this match? You know what I mean? Like, they missed in-ring action because they were, like, three different referees were incompetent. Missing that isn't a big deal.
There's always some reason, and it's... Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's our wrap on AEW. Just, like, to me, just a blah show. And the ratings showed it. They dropped a bunch. Under a million.
Yeah, it's they're still two all over the place.
Well, there's that, and then also, I'm going to guess, and I've seen people theorize it too, a lot of people watching the Hurricane coverage.
No.
This is one thing we love in this country is watching another part of the country get beat up. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, did you see that the Royal Rumble tickets went on sale?
I did not see that.
Yeah, we might have to reevaluate this one.
Oh, okay.
Not for the ticket price, for those airline tickets. Oh, oh boy. We can take that one off air, but they ain't cheap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Do you have a bell time beer? Now that you're done training, are you allowed to have a bell time beer during podcast?
We had a bunch after. Like, I got done, and like my coach was there from 10 in the morning till we were there till 8:30.
Oh.
And he's like, I just want to get a beer. And I'm in my goofy shark onesie still. Not onesie, my singlet.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, let's go get one. So it was attached to Sugar Creek, so we just went straight into Sugar Creek. And I hadn't eaten since 2. I had 4 beers all night, and I was feeling
hammered.
So, yeah, I mean, I was already amped up anyways. obnoxious as hell. So for anyone who doesn't know, I did an Olympic lifting competition and came in first in my age group and second in my weight class. So I'm pretty happy about that. But, so I was wearing my medals the whole time. So whenever someone started talking, I was pulling the old Patrick Waugh thing.
Oh.
When Jeremy Rowan and Nick talk shit, he was like, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you over the Stanley Cup
rings in my ear.
So I would just hold my medals in my ear and go, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time hearing you. And then they start talking, I just start clanging them together like a bell. So, but dude, I will say this. For the 2 weeks I went balls out trying to get ready for this thing, I'm tired. Like, I rode 15 miles on my bike the next morning because I was still amped up. And about halfway through my bike ride, I went, uh-oh. It crashed. And I have no choice. I have to ride this bike back here. My car is at the other end. And I got done, came home, we went to lunch, and I crashed the fuck out for like 3 hours. Just enough time to watch the Vikings come back and beat the Lions. So that was nice. But yes, I do have a bell time here. Head is for Planet Pulp from Triple C. Hazy India Pale Ale. It's really good. And I don't think it's available anymore, so you missed out.
Yeah, mine is from my younger brother, Insurrection Ale Works. It's just their regular IPA, 6.5% ABV. Tella. Insurrection Brew Works, Tella. It's a pretty tasty little place that I've been to a couple of times when I have visited the younger brother of the DeFrango clan. And yeah, good place, good food. So if you happen to be in Pittsburgh, it is on the suggestion list for visits. So that is the Bell Time beer suggestion from at DeFrango 11. That was at Stunt Granny. Good God. At Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Have a good night, grandkids.